Hello, everyone. Welcome to Shakya Presents Movie Night. My name is Rudy Obias. I'm your host, and joining me for this episode, we have the host of Fat Guys at the Movies, Mr. Kevin Carr. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. I've quite never had an introduction like that.
And I pray that you never will again. Also joining us, he is the co-host of The Golden Briefcase. He's also a writer for Film School Rejects and for Showing.net, Jeremy Kirk. Thank you so much for joining us as well.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. It's always great to be on with Kevin Call. I love that guy.
Good to be on the call with
You're on the call with Kevin Call.
And so the movie that we're going to be talking about, Captain America, the First Avenger, and with this whole summer, we've been kind of littered with a lot of comic book movies. We have X-Men, we have Green Lantern, we have Thor. So I'm going to go to Kevin Carr first. What are your thoughts on Captain America, the First Avenger, and how does it really fit in the landscape of all the superhero movies and comic book movies that we've been getting this summer?
Well, first of all, I'm going to preface this by saying, and anyone who listens to my show or knows my reviews, they know I'm very forgiving of superhero movies, especially of the last 10 years or so. So with the exception of like some weird ones like Catwoman, you can put any superhero movie and I'm going to like it. You know, even something like Ghost Rider, I'm like, oh, that was fun, you know. And I also do not have the pre-knowledge. I was a DC boy, so I did not read Marvel. I was aware of who Captain America was. So if there's anything that they changed or made different or whatever, I'm okay with, because a lot of times this is my first full absorption of the character. You can count that movie they made in the 90s with Ronnie Cox as the president for that other Captain America movie.
Oh,
I saw that. Which is funny, because there's literally a scene where Captain America takes the girl, beats up the girl, and leaves Ronnie Cox, the old president who's been in captive, to beat up the big guy. This one's not like that at all. And so, but I liked it. I really did enjoy it. I thought it was a good, solid superhero flick. I even liked, and I'll admit this, I even liked Green Lantern this summer. I think some people gave it a lot more, were harder on it than they should have been for how sort of light and airy the movie was. And I liked Captain America. It's not my favorite of the superhero movies this summer. I think my favorite was X-Men by far. But this one I thought was still it did what a superhero movie is supposed to do. It was adventurous, it had good characters, it was a lot of fun to watch. It had some good action sequences, it has its flaws, but on the whole, I enjoyed it.
Jeremy Kirk, what are your thoughts on Captain America, the First Avenger, and I guess how does it fit into the landscape of all the superhero movies and comic book movies that we've been getting this summer?
Well, Kevin said that he's not really into he wasn't into the Marvel comics. I've never been really much of a comic book reader at all. It's only been in the last few years that I've gotten into any, you know, regular reading of comic books. So I'm really coming from these movies from the viewpoint of just watching them as a movie. Just to see how the story unfolds, if it's fully realized, if it feels like a complete story, if it feels like they told the best story they could tell. And with Captain America, the First Avenger, I think it's definitely the best of these pre-Avengers movies. I think it's better than either of the two Iron Man movies. I think it's better than The Incredible Hulk. I think it's better than Thor. It's definitely better than Thor. Kevin said that he enjoyed Green Lantern, even though it had a light and airy feel. There's a point where it can just be so light and airy to a fault that it just feels out of sorts, and the story is not the story isn't met with any kind of style. I think that's where Green Lantern fell, but I think the style and the story just converge perfectly in Captain America. The visual effects, especially when Chris Evans is the 90-pound weakling Steve Rogers at the beginning, is incredible. It's great special effects. And then when the explosions start, it's great action. Joe Johnston, I love the look that he's given this film. It feels... He gives it like a 1940s style haze, where it almost feels like It almost feels like 1941, the Steven Spielberg movie, which I know is probably not saying much for a lot of people. But I mean,
I don't know if that's what Johnson was going
for. I don't know if that might not have been what he's going for, but Joe Johnston, he's kind of a student of the Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, it did feel pretty Spielberg-esque.
Directing. Yeah, yeah. He's definitely a student of the Steven Spielberg directing style, and that goes back to the idea of kind of putting nostalgia in their palette, their color palette.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like The Rocketeer, you know. I mean, yeah, Joe Johnston directed The Rocketeer back in 1991, and this, for me, it felt completely like that, along with how cheesy and corny it was. And actually, the more corny it got, the more I loved it. And I was just eating it up with a spoon. I loved just this romance between Captain America and
Peggy
Haley Curry. Atwell and her two big friends.
Yes.
Yes.
In the red dress. Yeah.
And what a dress that was. Just that to was walk amazing. Into a bar and then just leave.
That dress was red?
That was the right. best scene in the movie. There were no action sequences and no explosions, but it was the best scene in the movie.
And I will say for a comic book movie, that's probably the best romance love story that I've seen in any of these Marvel movies. Oh yeah, I mean I felt like this not so, like this chemistry between the two and this kind of unspokenness between them, and for me it just fit like it was I was reading a 1940s comic book, and it totally hit that tone and feel for me, and it was consistent throughout. And this is, for me, this is kind of like a calling back to when I was a kid watching summer movies like The Rocketeer, for example. Just a lot of great action, a lot of great moments, a very evil villain, and a wonderful romance. Kevin, you sound like you didn't enjoy the romance aspect of this film.
Here's the thing. I mean, even though I'm going to preface this by saying I liked the movie. I enjoyed the movie, and it's something I would recommend to people to go see. But I didn't think it was the best superhero movie I've seen, and there were parts where I thought it faltered. I thought it did get too corny, because it does. I mean, it really gets corny at points.
I think that the more it got corny for me, the more I just loved it.
But because I think it served the style of the film. It served the story. I mean, this is a period piece. It is taking place in 1942.
This is how you have to look at it. It's not like the movies were in the 40s. It's like people want to remember the movies were in the 40s. And that's how he taps into the nostalgia. Because they do things differently. It's not like a 1940s movie. It's bigger. But it has this sort of old photograph feel to it. But if you look, you can't look at it and be like, that's exactly how they shot stuff, because that's not how they shot stuff. So the romance, I wasn't wild about the romance. But then again, most superhero movies don't have much of that anyways, unless it's going to be a real Lois and Clark kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the movie has to be about the hero's journey, and it was. But I didn't love the movie. I would rank it somewhere. It's like I like X-Men, and then probably, you know, I look at Thor, Green Lantern, and Captain America is all kind of simmering in the same pot of being, they were fun, they were enjoyable, that I liked, but there were some problems with it. There's like a sequence in the middle where it just turns into this action montage, and I'm like, wow, I would have loved to have seen any one of those scenes in its entirety.
I was thinking that exact same thing. Every one of the shots in that montage of all these different missions that Captain America and his team were going on, I was like, well, that's a really nice shot, but why aren't we seeing completely fleshed out stories with these? The film was very half, especially at that montage did. I thought the movie's already over 2 hours long, so I mean they really couldn't add many more subplots. I'll say probably the biggest problem that I had with the film was Captain America's relationship with the other men on the team.
Yeah,
that was hardly ever fleshed out, and at one point you're supposed to feel kind of a sadness for something that happens, and you just don't feel it.
I feel that if they had to cut anything out of the movie, I was pretty much fine with them cutting off the I mean, it could have went into another direction. This movie could have been like a Men on a Mission type of movie. Mm-hmm. And it is to a certain respect. But I like the direction that it actually went into, because for me, I was more involved with this romance and relationship. And I get that we could have had a little bit more backstory with the group of men that he's with, that he saves from this detention camp. Right. But for me, I was pretty much okay. The only problem I really did have with the film was the CGI of scrawny Chris Evans.
I didn't find that convincing at all. I mean,
at points it felt convincing, but I think for the most part, I just couldn't buy in that he was that strangly, like there was something wrong with his neck, in my opinion.
It was, the head just didn't quite fit on, and then his voice, because he was still sort of, he was all badassy the way he talked. He'd be like, "Well, here I am, I'm gonna do this." See, he's like, "Well, that's coming out of like this." See, nothing.
And I've heard that complaint before, but I know plenty of scrawny guys who have just like real deep voices, and you're like, "Where the hell is that voice coming from?"
Yeah, I don't even know if it was that his voice sounded badass. It just, I don't know how they did the special effects, and I'm sure it was different than like Clue in Tron, so it wasn't the CGI weird little uncanny valley face.
Yeah.
But it felt, everything he said sounded like it was overdubbed.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, I don't think the CGI was horrible at all. Don't get me wrong. I just couldn't buy into probably 60% of most of it. I mean, I bought into 40% of it, but there were times when it just really didn't click for me. And I had that problem when I first saw the trailer of scrawny Chris Evans. Only until he actually becomes Captain America when I was like, well, I'm glad that that's over, you know, and we get to see this guy.
Go on, Jeremy.
Well, that first little action sequence through like the streets of New York, there was some CG in that I thought was pretty. I don't know if it was bad CG, but it was obvious CG with him running and jumping.
There was a lot of wonky CG.
Yeah, there was.
I'll forgive that, because like I said, Thor had it, Green Lantern had it, even X-Men at times had it. Really rare.
Spider-Man.
Oh, Spider-Man all over the place.
Yeah.
There's one scene where he's like either swinging on a rope or jumping over a thing, and he almost looked like Blade 2 in this very mannequin sort of way. Like I said, I can forgive that. I mean, it's a superhero movie.
Right.
I think that the reason that happens is because the choice is to go so much CG, because there's set pieces. I'd be willing to bet that has had as much green screen work as something like Green Lantern or even Avatar. I mean, there was so much where the entire city was in there. And while I loved the villain, I wanted more of him.
Jeremy, what are your thoughts on Hugo Weaving as Red Skull?
I thought Red Skull was by far the best villain in a comic book movie we've had for a while. Okay, maybe not comic book movie. I'm just thinking we had Joker 3 years ago. But Marvel comic book movie. Point is, Red Skull's a great villain.
Yeah.
And Hugo Weaving is great in this role. And honestly, Kevin, I thought we got a lot more Red Skull than I expected we would get. We hardly see him in the trailers. Mm-hmm. Which is a good thing. I mean, they didn't want to show what he looks like without the...
Yeah.
Except when you load movietickets.com, it's right there.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh.
The CGI or the effect that they used for Hugo Weaving to become Red Skull, I kind of liked, but I feel at times, along with how the CGI was in this whole movie, that it kind of felt like The Mask. You know, like Jim Carrey's The Mask.
Really?
But kind of red.
Like, oh.
Yeah.
I thought Red Skull was perfectly realized. I didn't have any problem with that character.
I did like the costume design of the Hydra Force stuff, and integrate all the Nazi stuff with it. I felt that like, and actually, moreover, the USO stuff and all of the army stuff really felt real. Like that's what I liked about this movie. That I did buy into the fact that this is a 1940s movie. Like. Set in the 1940s. Before the movie started, I leaned over to my friend and we were talking about the 3D of this movie and realizing that we're watching a period film in 3D, and that was kind of weird for us. Did you guys watch this movie in 3D?
Yes, I did. Yeah. It actually was terrible 3D. And I'm a huge proponent of 3D. Anyone's talking to me. I love 3D. I don't like the ticket prices, but I love 3D, and I will support, you know, like Transformers I was cool with. I thought the Harry Potter conversion was fantastic. I thought Pirates looked good. I'm bring on 3D. I like it. But the conversion was terrible in this movie. It gave me – which I rarely get. I did get eye strain. And I thought it was as bad as, like, My Soul to Take. In that level of just poorly done – rushed. It was like Clash of the Titans, just bad 3D.
Jeremy, what did you think of the 3D?
I'm never a fan of 3D. I can't think of one movie that I would rather see in 3D than 2D. And in Captain, I'm sorry,
Precious. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh God, that 3D conversion was amazing with the bucket of chicken.
Oh,
the chicken came right at you.
Why did you go there?
Fingers good. The 3D in Captain America, it's just there. It doesn't serve anything. It doesn't really anymore at this point. I don't think it distracts me as much as it used to.
Yeah,
but it's just pointless. There's no reason to see this movie in 3D. Just like I don't think there's any reason to see any movie in 3D besides Precious.
Of course.
Now this movie, when it goes overseas, or actually it is overseas right now, I'm wondering how this movie is going to do outside of America. I mean, this movie is very American and very patriotic.
It's a flag waver.
Yeah, it's every frame of this movie, there's an American flag. And I loved every minute of it. And I thought this movie should have been released on the 4th of July. That would have been awesome.
It should have, absolutely, but unfortunately Transformers was on there.
Yeah. Well, how do you think this movie is going to do, like, in Europe, you know, or other countries, namely just countries that aren't America?
I was actually talking about that on my show this week, because I mean, I'm wondering, are they like on the Middle East, are they gonna, like in Iran, when they show this in Iran, are they gonna be like Captain America, the first great Satan? I mean, because it is so flag waving. I don't think it's gonna be a problem in Europe, because it's World War II, you know, it's everyone's like, oh, we're all on the same side except for Germany and Italy, you know. But there's a lot more to relate there, but I don't know how well it's going to play in other countries, especially there's a sequence in there where he's sort of schmaltzing it up as a very propagandized Captain America. And they got this whole song going on, and, you know, he's punching out Hitler and stuff like that. But they're like going up, there's anti-Japanese stuff being spouted out in this song. And I'm like, I wonder how this is going to play in the Pacific Rim, because it might be a translation thing. You know, they might just translate it to be very nice lyrics.
Well, they did kind of address the Japanese thing, which I loved, by the way, when Captain America, spoilers, I guess, saves the missing troop, and one of the soldiers is Japanese American, and right. Captain America says, "Are we just saving everyone?" And the guy's like, "I'm from Fresno."
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
Jeremy, how do you think it's going to play overseas?
I think it'll play all right overseas. I don't know if it's going to do as well as other big summer blockbuster movies like Transformers or Lord Pirates of the Caribbean, which has just done massive business overseas.
If Johnny Depp was in this movie, it'd do it.
Yeah, that's true. I think... I don't know what changes, if any, they're making, other than I think it's just called The First Avenger overseas.
I heard that only a couple countries chose to do that, but everybody else is doing Captain. Most people are.
Are they doing Captain America?
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I think the idea of it being a big blockbuster comic book movie will outweigh the fact that it's just this big flag-waving, almost propaganda film for United States. Hoorah. I think people are going to go watch it and just enjoy it for the big, fun blockbuster action movie that it is.
Yeah, I was waiting for people in my audience to just keep chanting USA, USA, and it would have been appropriate for this movie. I loved every bit of that, by the way, in this movie. I guess let's go with like at the end of the movie, and I guess spoilers for the end of Captain America: The First Avenger, how this movie ends, it ends with Captain America being frozen, and this is by far the longest flashback I've ever seen in a movie.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the whole thing, it's just like a bookend. It's Mary Shelley's Frankenstein or
Interview with a Vampire.
I mean, it's not really, you can't even really consider it a flashback. It's just bookends that take place in the modern time, beginning and end.
And so it ends with Captain America getting frozen, but then they find him and they revive him, and then he wakes up in this this room. And I guess from then on to the end, Kevin Carr, what are your thoughts on how this movie ends?
I liked it. I thought they did a decent job pulling him into the modern world. I think there's a lot of character reaction that is going to disappear between now and the Avengers, simply because that's a lot to absorb. Everybody you know is either, because this isn't even like when they made, if they would have made in the 80s, it still would have been just 40 years. And so everybody would be, oh, everyone's dead at this point. Yeah. You know, the Haley Atwell, her character would be 90. She might be still alive.
Yeah, she could still be alive.
But I mean, barely, you know, it's you're getting into like almost we're so far from World War II that you almost don't have that generation is almost completely gone. Mm-hmm. And, so there's a lot for him that he's going to have to process that's going to happen not in there. And that would have been an interesting movie. I think they could have made two Captain America movies, done the 40s beginning and then the origin and then the modern day, just have him adjust to this, because also he's a super character, but he's sort of like Wolverine light now. You know, compared in the 40s, he was really cool and badass. But now, I mean, they've got a guy in an iron suit. They've got a guy who turns green and can rip things apart. And
like we would see him as how we saw this whole movie, just being really corny.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, he's strong and he can regenerate and he can't get drunk. But yeah, I don't know. The other thing is, my screening did not, and a lot of screenings, except for the one at Comic-Con, apparently, did not have the teaser for the Avengers at the end.
And Austin, I think, got it.
Did Austin get it?
I believe that they in a cool news screening got it. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't get it. We didn't get it in New York either.
You didn't even get it in New York?
No, no. Wow. Shocking. We don't get something in New York.
You guys are so spoiled.
I was telling Rudy before we went on the air, just the sound of 500 people in a theater just collectively going, oh, and they realized they didn't get the trailer.
It was
the funniest thing I think I've ever heard.
It was like when you're watching the trailer for Devil, and then you see, you're kind of into this trailer, and then all of a sudden it says, produced by M. Night Shyamalan, and then you hear a collective,
What would have been worse, not getting the Avengers trailer, or if at the very end it pops up directed by M. Night Shyamalan?
Oh. I like M. Night.
You too, actually.
Jeremy, what are your thoughts on how Captain America: The First Avenger ends?
I mean, there was really only one way they could have ended this, and I guess they did the best they could with that. But and we're totally in spoiler territory here, right?
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
It just kind of felt, I don't know, empty. Just that whole, I had a date, or I missed my date, or whatever the last line of the movie is, and then cut to the end credits. It just kind of felt, that's it?
Well, for me, I was so emotionally, I mean, to a little lesser extent, I was emotionally invested into the romance. I was really into that romance. Every time they were on screen together, and even when he was looking at her photograph in his compass, which to me harkens back to The Rocketeer, because The Rocketeer does that with Jennifer Connelly's picture as well. I loved every moment of that. And so when he said that line at the end of the movie, I was supposed to have a date. For me, that was very bittersweet, and that was a perfect note to end the film on, in my opinion.
That's when you went, oh, instead of after the Avengers trailer.
I didn't mind that line. I guess I just wanted one more just kind of build, just to kind of ramp up into the Avengers besides that.
Well, we would have had that.
Yeah, we would.
That was. It's there. It's just not.
Bastards.
I will also say I love the closing credits sequence of just yes. that Captain America song. It's so patriotic and just how the backdrop is and all those effects. I love that and just made me very happy and
you
joyous.
Know, I think that's going to have a bigger impact on the overseas market than just the entirety of the movie. Cause that's like the last thing they're left with.
Yeah.
And they may be like, that was a great movie. And then like, fuck America.
The Star Spangled Man.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Did I swore.
Oh, you can go. You can swear. Oh,
wow. Okay.
Thank God.
And if not, I'll just bleep it out. I can't remember if this is an explicit one or not. So I guess let's go with final thought and recommendation. Can you recommend this movie because it's coming out this Friday? People have between this and Friends with Benefits and other movies. Would you recommend this to see this weekend, Kevin Carr?
I would say, you know, if we've been sort of blockbustered out and we have, I think there's a danger of suffering from superhero exhaustion, but if you're still want to see a superhero movie, this is a fun movie. It's enjoyable. You're going to like it. You're going to enjoy yourself at the film, whether it's the best superhero movie you've ever seen or whether if it's just enjoyable, but it's one of those movies where I'd say, even though I love 3D, see it in 2D if you can, because it doesn't add much.
Jeremy Kirk?
Absolutely. I would definitely go see this. I really want Captain America to do well, just because Captain America, he feels like B-team superhero at this point. Yeah. But I think with an Iron Man level success in this movie, it could bring Captain America up to the A-list, where he probably should be in the overall sense of comic books.
Well, he does have that A right there in his forehead.
That's true. You think it's going to be there forever?
Since you bring that up, like how this movie is going to do, I mean, Thor did very well this summer, and Iron Man obviously is a big movie. Do you actually see this movie getting up to that Thor level of financial success?
Well, was Thor that Thor was Thor soft was, compared to Iron Man, wasn't it?
Domestically, well, yeah, compared to Iron Man, it was very soft, but domestically, Thor was. It just barely broke even domestic. It made almost 500 million worldwide, so it did all right. Captain America, I think it's going to have a much bigger domestic take than Thor, but getting back to that worldwide, I'm not sure. That's really kind of a
I think what it'll do is I think it'll do about domestically. I think it's going to do about what Thor or X-Men did.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
The same amount overseas. It's not gonna. A lot of the big blockbusters, and especially the 3D, because they're cranking the ticket prices overseas as well. They're doing twice what or more what the domestic is. They're doing that overseas. So they whatever your domestic is, sometimes it's like you know almost a 3-to-1 worldwide ratio. I think this is going to be more of a 50-50 or 1-to-1 worldwide versus domestic or international.
I'll tell you what I'm shocked by, and this is going strictly by Box Office Mojo numbers. Captain America cost less than Thor.
I can see that.
I'd buy that, yeah.
Yeah, I can definitely
Thor
see
just,
that.
I don't know.
Thor has a lot of big sets. Like, I didn't see that many big sets in Captain America.
There are almost no sets in Captain America.
Yeah. Well, I mean, unless they really went to France to shoot those scenes, you know, or Norway, which I don't think they did.
I guess that proves that You don't have to have huge sets to build scope, just because the scope in Thor was very small compared to what it should have been. But the scope in Captain America, I thought, was huge. It felt like a big movie.
Yeah, well, I think it felt like a big movie because they're going from America to Europe, and then when they're in Europe, they're in various countries as well. I don't think there was an actual train that they used to perform those stunts.
Well, no.
But that looked really good, and like I thought of that scene in Sucker Punch, and this is a lot better than that scene in Sucker Punch.
That would have been great though if like Abby Cornish would have jumped into the middle and just started kicking ass on all the robots or the robot monster thingies.
I don't think I'm allowed to talk about Sucker Punch anymore, so I'm abstaining.
Okay, so let's wrap up this episode of Movie Night. Where can we find you online, Kevin Carr? Where can we find you online?
easiest place to go is fatguysatthemovies.com. You can get my podcasts and other things. There's a link to my other reviews there. You can also find me at Film School Rejects. And if you want to hit me up on Twitter and tell me I'm wrong about whatever, you know, Captain America, Green Lantern, M. Night Shyamalan, you can go to twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And Jeremy Kirk?
You can find my reviews every week at firstshowing.net. You can also find me over at filmschoolrejects.com as well. And you can also find me on Twitter at twitter.com/JeremyKKirk.
And you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Rudy_Obias. That's RUDIE_OBIAS. Shakya.com, GordonandTheWhale.com, AutorCast.com, and everything that is Rudy at RudyObias.com. On the next episode of Movie Night, we're going to be discussing, I think, like three movies. We're going to talk about Cowboys and Aliens, Attack the Block, and Crazy Stupid Love. So, again, I would like to thank Kevin Carr and Jeremy Kirk for joining me on very short notice for this podcast. So thank you guys very much.
Thank you. Pleasure to do it.
And so, goodbye, everyone. See you next time. The goose that we moved from Berlin.